Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, January 19th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Today in our readings we will be in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, Psalm 41, and Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22, and we'll go through chapter 9, and verse 1. In Genesis 18, the title is The Three Visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant, who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." What are we to do with this weird little story in Genesis 18? Well, let's go back and notice that verse 1 says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham." So if you're wondering who were these people that appeared, it is evident that it was the Lord. And in Alan Rawls, who was one of my professors at Beeson, in his Genesis commentary, Creation and Blessing, he says this, "The narrative opens with the report that the Lord appeared to him." Then it goes down and says, "This visitation is a little more complicated in that it involves three visitors who came and ate Abraham's meal. The three could have been the Lord and his two angels," the view that finds support from chapter 19, because in chapter 19, two angels go to Sodom, or a threefold manifestation of the Lord himself. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perhaps. The point is clear, though, that the Lord visited Abraham and that the visitation was part of the blessing. So God appears to Abraham, and it's a wonderful story. Abraham asked Sarah to get some food ready. He asked his servant to prepare an animal, and they sit down and they eat. And my study Bible made an interesting note that was helpful as well. It says, "In Abraham's day, a person's reputation was largely connected to his hospitality, the sharing of home and food. Even strangers were to be treated as highly honored guests. Meeting another's needs for food and shelter was and still is one of the most immediate and practical ways to obey God. It is also a time-honored relationship builder. Hebrews 13:2 suggests that we, like Abraham, might actually entertain angels. This thought should be on our minds the next time we have an opportunity to meet a stranger's needs. Let's move over now to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 41 for the director of music, a Psalm of David. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." My enemies say of me in malice, "When will he die and his name perish?" When one of them comes to see me, he speaks falsely. While his heart gathers slander, then he goes out and spreads it around. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, "A vile disease has afflicted him. He will never get up from the place where he lies." Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bed, has turned against me. But may you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Psalm 41 concludes the first book of Psalms. Did you notice how he said amen and amen? Each book of the Psalms, there are five, ends with some kind of amen, which means let it be. Our third reading for today comes from Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22, and we'll go through chapter 9 and verse 1. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elisha, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. And he said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Today, as we end, I want to do a little mashup of the verses that we have read and lead us in prayer through the thoughts that have come to mind and have stuck out to me. Will you pray with me? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Help us to be a people who seek to be about your business in the world. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Even a barren womb at a ripe old age can be renewed and restored and made fruitful. And Lord, in our lives, nothing is impossible for you. No one is too far gone. No situation is without hope. And so we cling to you in these times, Lord, and we ask for your work, your restoration, and your redemption. We confess with Peter today that you, Jesus, are the Messiah. While you are misunderstood by many, we claim you as our Lord. Help us to live into the life of denial of self so that others might know you and praise you as well. Help us to be about your concerns today. Help us to be a people who love and serve you with joy, with gladness, with hope, for the eternal blessings which are to come, and for the abundant life which you provide here. Bless my brothers and sisters, I pray today, and make them a blessing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.